In recent years, the phenomenon of geirus, of conversion, has become much more popular. And people are wondering, how come in the days of the Tanaim it wasn't so common? There's a famous comment that was made by the Ger Tzedek in Vilna, whose name was Graf Patatsky. He converted to become Jewish. And this comment already appears earlier in the Mabit, who lived in the 1500s, who was in the Bezna of the Beis Yosef, writes the same in his Sefer Beis Elokim. It's a Sefer on Hashkofe. But it's famous from the Ger Tzedek in Vilna. He said, on the occasion of Maimon Hasina, when the Rabbani Shalom offered the Torah to all of the nations of the world, so they all turned it down. And when he offered it to the Jewish people, so they all said, Nasa v'nishma. It means to say that every single Goy said they don't want the Torah, and every single Jew said they do want it. Probably was the majority of the people in each nation said they don't want it, and the majority of the Jewish people said they are interested, they do want it. So what's going to be with the minority, those goyim who didn't want to accept the Torah, and those Jews who never wanted it in the first place? So before the end of days, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to see to it that everything straightens out, that all of those Jews who are descendants of those Jews originally, initially, who never wanted to accept the Torah in the first place, Mistama, they'll convert out, and they'll join some other religion. And those non-Jews or descendants of the original non-Jews who did want to accept the Torah, they will convert and become Jewish. So that in the end of days, by the time Mashiach will come, everybody will be where they really belong. Okay, it's interesting. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Avraham Avinu, Lech lecha mi'aretz lecha mi'milaret lecha, you should go to Eretz Yisrael, Ve'eskol le'goy gado, I will make you into a great nation. V'nivruchu b'chol kol mishpacho su adoma, how do you translate v'nivruchu? So we usually interpret miloshem brocha, when a nochri will give a blessing to his children and say, you should be matzliach like Avraham Avinu's children, like the Jewish people. So the Rashbam on that pasuk interprets v'nivruchu miloshem havrocha v'harkova, to take a branch from one tree and to graft it onto another tree, it's called Havrocha. So he says, Avraham Avinu was already told that there will be an institution of Geirus, that the Jewish people and the Jewish religion is not reserved only for those who are descendants of Avraham Avinu, biological descendants. And Avraham Avinu was called Avraham Goyim. His name was changed from Avram to Avraham. What does it mean, Avraham Goyim? So the Gemara says that what it means is he's considered a father of the Gerim. There is a machlokes hatanoim when a ger davens, when he says Shemona Esri, can he really say Elokeinu Elokei Aviseinu Elokei Avraham Elokei Yitzchak Elokei Yankov? He's not a biological descendant of Avraham Yitzchak and Yankov. So how can he refer to them as Aviseinu? When a ger brings Bikurim, can he say Avarcha Sadam Shenishbatal Aviseinu Losislanu, bless the land that you promised to give our ancestors? He's not a descendant from Avraham Yitzchak and Yankov, to whom the Haftocha was given. So there's a machlekes satanoim, and the Rambam paskens like that Tana. Tosis has a machlekes, and Baba Basu Daf Peyalov had a paskens. The Rambam is famous. The Shulchan Aruch quotes the Tshuvas Rambam and the Psak Rambam and the Mishnah Torah. The Rambam paskens like the Tana Rabbi Yehuda that a ger can say Shosandisim Lavasena Bayamahem Bazman. As any ger can say, when he brings the Bikurim, he can recite Mikur Kuman Shenishbata Lavasena Losislana. When he daven Shemon Esrei, he can say Lakeinu Lakei Avaseinu. Okay, Avraham Elokei Yitzchak Elokei Yankov, because Avraham Avinu was told that his name is changed. He is Avraham Goyim. He's considered the father of all of those who are going to convert in the future. So we were told in advance that the Jewish religion, Jewish people, Jewish religion, not restricted only to those who are descendants, biological descendants of Avraham Avinu, there is going to be an institution of Geirus. On the occasion of Yetzias Mitzrayim, Moshe Rabbeinu decided on his own that the Maimon HaSina will be much more elegant if we have more people. So he took Vegam Erev Rav Oliyitom. He took a big Erev Rav. He converted a lot of non-Jews to become Jewish. The Maimon HaSina would be more bekavadik. The Rabbanu Shel Olam told him, you made a mistake. Who needed them? According to the tradition of the Medrash, the Erev Rav were the ones who started with the Chet HaEgel. They were the ones, the source of all the trouble was from the Erev Rav. But Moshe Rabbeinu thought that he's doing the Rabbanu Shlomo a favor. He thought we'll have more people present in Maimon HaSinai, so it'll be more of a Kavod HaShechina. How do you do the procedure of conversion? So Ben Gurion started a whole issue a few years after Hakamas Hamdina Mihu Yehudi. They had a law on the books that a non-Jew who wants to become a citizen of Medina Yisrael takes a long time. Naturalization like in America, until you become a citizen. And if you're Jewish, you have the law of return. Any Jew who comes to Eretz Yisrael becomes a citizen overnight. He can become a citizen in a kvitzus aderech, in a brief and a shorter way. So how do you define who's a Jew? So Ben Gurion started a whole pilpul. So he sent letters to different Jewish thinkers. Not all of them were rabbis. Not all of them were Orthodox. So everybody gave their own suggestion. How do you determine who is a Jew? Two of the people whom we knew, who got the letter, one was Rabbi Soloveitchik, one was Rabbi Chaim Heller. Rabbi Chaim Heller had a Beis Medrash in Berlin, where Rabbi Soloveitchik was learning, was studying in the University of Berlin, so he used to learn Rabbi Chaim Heller's Beis Medrash. So they, each of them got a letter, and they decided to send back a letter to Ben-Gurion together. So they sent back a letter, the definition of Judaism, to become a Jew. You should follow the halacha, what it says in Hilchas Gerim, in the Gemara. You can't change what it says in the Gemara. At that time, one of the people who apparently got the letter was Professor Solomon Zeitlin. He used to be the head of Dropsy College in Philadelphia. He's famous for his book. It says on the first page, "Who Killed Jesus?" Solomon Zeitlin. That's what he's famous for. That's what it says on the Sharblad. So his expertise was in Talmud. When he visited Yeshiva, the student spoke to him. He was very weak in Talmud. So he published at that time, I remember it was before my bar mitzvah, I was a little boy, we lived in Pennsylvania then. So I was reading in the Anglo-Jewish newspapers at that time what this great Professor Zeitlin had to say. So he said, biblically, a non-Jew who declares that he wants to become Jewish, he becomes Jewish just by his declaration. And the requirement that he has to have a bris milah, every Jew has to have a bris milah. What's the chiddush? And the requirement that he has to go to mikveh, and the requirement that he has to bring a korban, that's only the rabbanim, because the rabbis made a gzera. Taisus is not sure exactly when the gzera was made, before the days of the Hashmonaim or after the days of the Hashmonaim. The rabbis made a gzera, the rabbanim, that every non-Jew has a status like a zav. A zav is tummy. So if you shake hands with a non-Jew, you become tummy. So if a non-Jew has a status of a zav, so when a zav becomes tahor, he has to go to the mikveh. When his zav becomes so, he has to bring korbanos. Of course, the rabbis, once they made a declaration that all the non-Jews have a status like a zav, of course he has to go to mikveh, he has to bring a korban. Remember at the time, I was a little boy before bar mitzvah, so I thought that was ridiculous. There are two kinds of mikveh. There's a mikveh of rainwater, and it has to be stagnant water. Mikveh comes from the word kovel v'kaimai. Has to be eshborin, a shever, a crack in the ground. If it's zechlim, if the water is rolling, it's a psul derais, and the mikveh is no good. That's the definition of mikveh, kovah v'kaima. And then there's another way to become tahor. A person is tovel in a mayon. A mayon means mayim chaim. Mayim chaim means the water comes from under the ground. The rabbis of the Tanoim knew that there's a water cycle. They knew that all the water comes from the clouds and all the water goes back up to the clouds. So all the same water that's recycled. They knew all about that. The Gemara talks about the water cycle. And nonetheless, if the water from the clouds goes down and it goes under the ground long enough, and then it shoots up again in a spring, in a mayon, so that has a different din. That has a different din. That's metahir bezochlin only. It's only good if it's moving. If it's not moving, it's not called mayim chayim. It's not called a mayim. So those who know Chumash know that a zav requires mayim chayim. A ger who's tovel in a mikveh doesn't have to have mayim chayim. A married woman goes to mikveh doesn't have to have mayim chayim. Only a zav. A zava doesn't need mayim chayim. Such a tasefta, ein bein zav lezava ela shahazav ton mayim chayim, hazava ein etun mayim chayim. So as a bracha before bar mitzvah, I knew that this suggestion was meaningless. To say that the mikveh is only needed with the rabbanim because the non-Jews have a din of zav is ridiculous. Then we should require that the ger has to go to a mayim. And then the korbanos that you bring, there's no such thing as a korban chatos with the rabbanim. A chatos is not bo ben edem and edovah. So the chachamim, when a zav becomes tor, he has to bring a chatos. There's no such thing as a chatos with the rabbanim. If you're not mechuyev to bring the chatos, you can't volunteer it. So the whole suggestion was ridiculous. I remember In the Anglo-Jewish newspapers, so they kept on sending in letters to the editor, to Pilpel, whether Professor Zeitlin was right or wrong. So finally they wrote this in the paper. This is ridiculous. How can it be? They pointed out. The ger, habolis guy, doesn't need mayim chayim, and he can't bring a korban chatas. the ger doesn't bring a chatas. He brings a erlus ha'ayin. He doesn't have to bring a chatas. The whole thing was ridiculous. Anyway, so the Gemara, how do you know, how does the ger become Jewish? So the Gemara says, we learn out from a pasuk that just like all of the Jewish nation underwent an act of gerus on the occasion of Maimon HaSinai, so too the Doros, whenever a non-Jew wants to convert, he has to undergo the same type of gerus that the Jews all went through on the occasion of Maimon HaSinai. So what was in Maimon HaSinai? So first and foremost, everybody said Nasa V'Nishma. They all accepted Kabbalah on mitzvah. They promised to observe all of the mitzvahs of the Torah. Secondly, the Pasuk says in Chumash that everybody, all of the men, had a bris milah before Yitzias Mitzrayim. So the simple reading of the Pasuk in Chumash is that an Orel is not permitted to eat the Korban Pesach, and that's why they needed a bris milah. So the Talmud understands that's one half of the story, and the other half of the story is after Yitzias Mitzrayim, there's going to be a Maimon HaSinai. The purpose of Yitzias Mitzrayim, Ani Hashem Elokecha, the whole purpose of Yitzias Mitzrayim is not just for the political freedom, but in order to undergo the Geirus at Har Sinai. So the Chachamim had a tradition that the Milah that was done in Mitzrayim right before Korban Pesach was not only to enable the people to eat the Korban Pesach, because an Oral is not permitted to participate in Korban Pesach, but it was also to lead up to the Geirus that was going to be completed at Har Sinai. Then on the occasion of Har Sinai, so the Pasuk only says that the married people had to go to mikveh. Married people, anyone who was a balkeri or a woman who was a paletu shechvazera had to go to mikveh. But it never says that the single people had to go to mikveh. So that the Gemara has a tradition, the married people had to go to mikveh 3 days before because a paletu shechvazera she'll have to go to mikveh again. But all the single people had to go to mikveh before Maimon HaSinai. Gemara learns it out. A whole Yalfus and the Gemara increases on the Avtesam et Aleph. So the Gemara has a tradition based on Sukkim that everybody had tefillah and a mikveh right before Maimon HaSinai. And then, after, either before or after, that's a question, either before or after Maimon HaSinai, they all brought a communal, the whole community together brought special karbonos that are described in the end of Parshas Mishpatim. That's a question. Rashi in the Ramban was, the Ramban thinks, that the Maimon HaSinai was, Ramban explains in his commentary on Chumash, that the Maimon HaSinai was when you have a ger who's in the mikveh, so you review again with him when he's up to his neck in the mikveh, so you review again the highlights of the mikveh. You're not going to review all the 613 mitzvahs, he'll get pneumonia if you're going to stand there. It'll take a few hours to rattle off all the mitzvahs. So you give highlights. So the Gemara says you mention some of the more difficult mitzvahs, some of the easier mitzvahs. I'm not sure exactly which are the easier mitzvahs. The Gemara says, you mentioned mitzvahs kalos and mitzvahs chamur. So the Ramban says, that's what Maimon HaSinai was. The Aseres HaDibros is just a random sampling of some of the more difficult mitzvahs, some of the easier mitzvahs. We're not so sure which one of the Aseres HaDibros are the easier mitzvahs. Kibud Av V'Aim is very difficult. Hardly anybody observes it properly. Lo Sachman is a very difficult mitzvah. All the mitzvahs on Aseres HaDibros is pretty difficult, but that's what the Ramban... Okay, but there's so many aspects of Lasirtzach that we do violate. Malbim Penecha Verabim is a form of Lasirtzach. Unfortunately, they're all difficult to observe. The Ramban thinks that the proclamation of the Aseres HaDibros was the Kabbalah on mitzvahs. That was the fulfillment of the principle of Madimos and Mitzvahs Mitzvahs Kalos and Mitzvahs Mitzvahs Chamurais, and the Maimon HaSinai was to Goyim. The Jewish people had not yet become Geirim. And then they brought the Korbanos after Maimon HaSinai. Everything in Chumash is in order. Parshas Yisro has Maimon HaSinai. And the conversion was completed when they brought the Korbanos in the end of Parshas Mishpatim. And this is in disagreement with Rashi. Rashi in his commentary on Chumash quotes the Tana from the Mechilta, the Tana who says that the Parshias are out of order. They're chronologically out of order. The Karbonis were brought, the Karbonis described at the end of Parshas Mishpatim, were really brought before Maimon HaSinai. So the Geirus of Klal Yisrael was completed, and Maimon HaSinai was to the Jewish people, wasn't to the non-Jews, wasn't the way we do Modin Oso Haiduas HaMitzvahs, it was Talmud Torah, it was Liman HaTorah. And Rashi quotes from Rabbeinu Sadigoyen, very rarely quotes Rabbeinu Sadigoyen, Rashi quotes from Rabbeinu Sadigoyen that the Aseres HaDibros 10 basic categories under which you can subsume all of the 613 mitzvahs. So they really, in a certain sense, contain all of the 613 mitzvahs. So when HaKadosh Baruch Hu proclaimed the Aseres HaDibros, he was teaching Torah to Bnei Yisrael, he was teaching them the 10 major mitzvahs, 10 categories of mitzvahs, and all the other mitzvahs are to be subsumed under those. So we learn out from Maimon HaSinai, the way Geiris is supposed to be done, L'doiris, the Geir has to express an interest in keeping mitzvahs, he has to commit himself, he has to say, Nasa V'nishma, we plan to observe all of the mitzvahs. You have to have, if it's a man, he has to have a bris milah, and if it's a man or a woman, they have to go to the mikveh, and then you have to bring korban hager. Yeah, what kind of a korban hager? So the Gemara says he can bring a korban oila. Oila's behema will be more expensive. He wants to bring an oila, so if he'll save some money. So the Mishnah says that he used to bring the gerim, he used to bring oila soif in order to save money.
What they do nowadays,
when
there was no
problem. That's an eisen kasha. So the Gemara asked that kasha. It's such a good kasha. The Gemara asked the kasha. Bizman hazeh, nobody, we don't have a beis hamikdash. How do you have the ability to accept the ger bizman hazeh? So the Gemara says there is a pasuk in Chumash, v'chiyogir itchem ger l'dor aseichem. If a non-Jew will convert throughout any of the generations, and the Chumash itself describes a generation, v'hashimoseis mikdashaychem, but there won't be a Beis HaMikdash, and nonetheless, the Chumash says you can accept the Ger throughout all the generations. So you see from the Chumash that the Korban HaGer is not Miyakev. That's what the Gemara says. The Korban HaGer is not Miyakev. The Pashtus is that it wasn't Miyakev is Mansha Beis HaMikdash HaYakayim either. That's the simple reading of the Gemara and the simple reading of the Rambam. The Gemara increases, Daftes quotes a Tosefta that says that a Ger who converts, he just didn't bring the Korban yet, is considered Jewish, 99.99% Jewish. He's only considered a goy ben a ger too. He's not allowed to eat korbanos. In order to eat the korban pesach, in order to eat the korban shlamim, you have to bring the korbanos. It's considered like a mechusi kippurim, like a tommy who went to mikveh and didn't yet bring the korbanos. That the tommy, the zav zavi haledus and mitzvah have to bring korbanos to complete the tahara procedure. So the ger who was nizgayer and he didn't bring the karbonis has a status like a mechusri kapar. That's why it's increases. The name of the second parak increases is Abba Mechusri Kapara. And it starts off by discussing the four people who are tomei, who already went to mikveh and they already had Harav Shemesh. They waited till the end of the day after they went to mikveh, the sun set already. And in order to complete the tahara procedure, they have to bring karbonis, the four people, Zab, Zobi, Aledus, and Mitzoyro. So they have a din that the tummy, they're not allowed to enter the Beis HaMikdash, they're still considered a little bit tummy, they're not permitted to eat kachim, not permitted to be makar of karbonis. If he's a kohen, not allowed to enter Beis HaMikdash, bring karbonis and so on. So the ger, Hamizgair, and he didn't bring the karbonis, is 99.99% Jewish, he's only not permitted to eat a korban shlamim. That's the whole difference. That's the pashup shat in the Gemara. The Abnei Nezer wants to make a chiddush, he makes it into a home achlekes harishayim, he thinks that some rishayim say that was mancha based on Megiddo Shoykan, the korban was me'akev. The pashtus is that it's not so. Everybody learns the Gemara not like the Abnei Nezer. Pashtus Pashad, the korban was never me'akev. The fact that you can accept the ger, the Dor HaSeichem, even in a generation where there is no based on Megiddosh, indicates that even Mizman, that there was a based on Megiddosh, it wasn't me'akev. And again, the pashtus is that this halacha, the Dor HaSeichem, only applies to the korban. Let's say you have a ger who cannot undergo Milo. He has a medical condition, and he can't undergo milo. So what you say, whatever he can't do is not miyakev. So since he can't undergo medically, he can't undergo milo, so he can become a ger with that bris milo. So there was an Adam Gadol who thought like that. There was a very original thinker in the early 1900s, Rabbi Yitzchak Rabinovich, his name was. He was the Rav in Panevesh, he made yeshiva in Panevesh. He was a very original thinker, very much out of the box. He always thought out of the box. He was a big Baal Mecharish, and the Gedolim in his generation thought that we shouldn't follow anything that he says, halacha l'maaseh. He had a lot of, too many fantastic chidushim. The Sri Yesh has a tshuva where he writes Agan Semaaseh. The Rab Chaim Oizer, in addition to doing everything else that he did, used to schnorr money for the Bad HaYeshivas also. He used to go around to the wealthy Gvirim and insist that they should give money to the Yeshivas, and he used to tell us, he used to distribute the money to all the Yeshivas in Europe. When people in America sent checks, they sent it to Rab Chaim Oizer, and he used to distribute it depending on how many students each Yeshiva had. So he went to this Gvir who had a factory, and he raised some money by him. So the Gvir was bragging that he converted. He converted, and he shows, I have a Ksav Geris on the wall. He was proud of the fact that he converted. I have a Ksav Geris, signed by Rabbi Tzela Panovich, and he wrote the whole Shtikl Torah in the Ksav Geris. But this Ger had a medical condition, and he wasn't allowed to undergo circumcision. So I paskin that he can become a Ger without Milah. So Rabbi Chaim Ezer looked at him, and he was stunned, and he said, I want you to know you're not Jewish. Thank you for the money that you gave. I want you to know you're not Jewish, and the rabbi is wrong. And he insisted that he shouldn't paskin any more shilas. Rabbi Tzela Panovich was known for his very original chidushim. Very often he said things against the Shulchan Aruch.
So this. Like, what if the ger was already
mokel? So the Gemara has a machlokes hatana. What if a non-Jew comes to convert who already had a medical circumcision done previously, not for the purpose of gerus? So that's a dispute between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. There was a dispute between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel about Hatofas Dambris. But there are three different versions in the Gemara, which case was there a dispute. So one version has it, this is a Masechah Shabbos, in Perek HaBlezer de Mila, where it has all the laws of Bris Mila. So one version has it that was the Machloikas, where the Ger, Shinizgar Kishuhu Mohul, the Nanju already had the medical circumcision performed not for the purpose of Geris, would he require Hatovis Dambris? According to one version, this is the Machlokes Beshame Bisil, and there's no need. Bisil said there's no need for Hatovis Dambris. Then the Gemara says there's another version that is not so. So Taisus quotes the different opinions. Taisus Anandaf quotes the different opinions. So Misofik we are Machmed, that we do require Hatovis Dambris by such a Ger.
Even a Jew that was born Maul, Nidakazah.
That's also machlokes hatanoim b'shamayim b'silul. So again, we pass them that you need hatofas dambris, right?
So it wouldn't help for this ger who couldn't have a full mila.
He had a problem. He had hemophilia. The problem was you can't do hatofas dambris either. They're afraid to do hatofas dambris also.
So we help poor like that now. So if hemophilia wants to become Jewish.
He can't. Right. There was a chassidish rebbe who is known as Bnei Yisoschar. He lived before Rabbi Tzela Panovich, Bnei Yisoschar, Rabbi Shmuel of Dinever. He was the Rebbe in Dinev. Rabbi Tzvi Elimelech Shapiro, Dinever. So he, in addition to his Sefer Bnei, his Rebbe told him he was from Shevet Yisoschar. So that's why he called the Sefer Bnei Yisoschar. Then he wrote another Sefer, a Sefer HaMitzvahs, that's called Derech Pikudecha. The Mishnah Berurah quotes it in one place. And he lists off, it only goes till 52 mitzvahs, so it only goes to the middle of Mishpatim, and then it conks out. They're not sure whether he wrote on all the mitzvahs and it got lost, but that's all he wrote. They're not sure exactly what. And in every mitzvah, he divides every mitzvah, that he divides his discussion into three parts, machshava, dibur, and maisa. He gives a little bit tami ha-mitzvah, and then he gives details of the mitzvah, halacha, and maisa, and then he gives chidushim. So on the mitzvah of Mila, first mitzvah, piru, rivya, second mitzvah is Mila, then the third mitzvah is Gidah Nosh and Bereshis, then the fourth mitzvah is Kiddush HaChedesh, coming up soon. So on the mitzvah of Mila, he discusses Mila Sager also. So he assumes a Dover Pashut that you cannot become a Ger unless you do a Bris Mila. And if there's a medical danger, so he has a Suffolk, is the Ger permitted to be Meisen Nefesh by Yiddishkeit? Is he allowed to undergo Geris knowing that he may die? So he has a Pilpel, may he's allowed to be Meisen Nefesh by Yiddishkeit. That's his Lashon. I think he says he's permitted to. He wants it, but he said he assumes a double push that he can't become a ger. He can't become a ger unless he has the mila. If he dies from the mila, so echad nisht. The mila, in order for the mila to be considered a mitzvah mila, has to be a successful surgery. If you perform a bris on a baby and the baby dies because of the bris, not only have you done wrong, you haven't even fulfilled the mitzvah mila. The Gemara says it has to be a successful surgery. So the baby dies because of the bris, then you're not yotzei the mitzvah mila. That's a gemara m'sochim. That seeing to it that the baby survives, if anything, any infection sets in, is called mechshir mila shala achar amila. If you don't take care of the baby, then you're not yotzei the mitzvah mila. So the halacha requires you have to have kabbalas on mitzvahs, you have to have mila. If it's a man, you have to have tefillah in the mikveh, and bizman she besamigdush ha'ikayim, they had to bring karbanas, and bizman hazeh, we accept the gerim without karbonis. The Gemara says also that we require a bezdin, and all of the dinim I learned that from Maimon Hasina, there was Kabbalah on mitzvahs, everybody said Nasa v'nishma, everybody had bris mili before Korban Pesach, everybody, even the single people, had tefillah and the mikveh, and they all brought the korbanos at the occasion of Maimon Hasina. Then the Gemara learns that from another pasuk, not from Maimon Hasina, that a ger needs a bezdin of three. You have to have a bezdin of three men at the time of the geris. So the Mefarshim Abavid with Akasha, but if you're learning all the dinim not from Maimon Hasina, there was no bezdin on the occasion of Maimon Hasina. So what did they come up with? A new pasuk, ger tzal shlosh and mishpat ksidnei, but everything is supposed to be based on Maimon Hasina. There was no bezdin. Then they have another kasha. Geris is an agreement between the candidate for conversion and the Rabbanu Shel Olam. Maimon Hasinai, the two sides were there. There was Gilui Shechina and there was Bnei Yisrael. How do you know that you can be Mekabel a Ger in the future without a Gilui Shechina? If you're learning out from Maimon Hasinai, you should insist. You have to, the Rabbanu Shel Olam has to appear in order to be Mekabel a Ger. So there was a great guy in the late 1800s, Rabbi Shaul Akutna. He's famous for the Heta Mechira. When they started the colonies in Eretz Yisrael, so there was the Shaila with the Shnas HaShmita, what's going to be Shmita? If they're not going to do any work during Shnas HaShmita, they'll go broke, and they'll have to live off of tzedakah. So he was one of the Gedolim in Europe who signed along on the Heta Mechira. And he wrote that in the 1600s, when they had a big Shas HaTchak, there were only Sfaradish Gedolim in Eretz Yisrael at that time. There were no Ashkenazi Balabatim, no Ashkenazi Rabbanim. So he said the great Sfaradish Gedolim from the 1600s were the ones who introduced. People make a mistake. They think the Rav Kook is the one who started the Heta Mechira. It wasn't Rav Kook's fault. Rav Kook was invited from Europe to become a Rav in Yafo. The Rav before him was the one who made the Heta Mechira. The Rav before him was a famous Talmud Chacham. He put out the Siddur HaGro. And the Heta Mechira in the early 1900s, the late 1800s, early 1900s, was based on the Heta Mechira from the 1600s in the Sfaradish Gedolim. So this Rabbi Shaul Akutna wrote in one of his Svarim about the Sfaradish Gedolim, Katonam Ovo Mimasneinu, that their pinkies, that's an expression in Tanakh, their pinkies was fatter than our waist. You can rely on the Sfaradish Gedolim that if you have a Shas HaTchak, you can rely on the Heta Mechira. So that's in one of his Svarim here. He's famous for that.
To a non-Jew.
Right, so he solves all the problems. He explains why it's permissible. If it's L'toy Vaseinu, the guy is doing us a favor by buying the field. He said, we're not selling it to the Nochri L'toy Vaseinu. Selling it to the Nochri L'toy Vaseinu. So he explains why there's no prohibition.
Going like this.
Okay, there were many G'daylim who were opposed to the Het Mechira. Okay.
That's the same like Shtar Reskain for Zbur, like
Okay. 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 Yeah. Yeah. But Heteriske, many people rely on Heteriske. There was just a conference in Harvard this week, a 2-day conference about Ribbis, about Heteriske. So the rabbi from Lakewood said, in the last couple of years, he personally made Heteriskes for several $1 billion worth of money. So one of the Arab also have a Heteriske, because they're more machman than we are. So he said, the Arabs said to him, you personally did. Because the Arabs were saying that in every year they do Heteriske, their Heteriske, for $220 billion. But they have all the Batidim in the world, all the Arab Batidim in the world. So he said, you personally? He says, yeah, he personally did for several $1 billion worth of halvos. He made Heteriske. There are those who don't.
Yeah, but what is a Heteriske? A Heteriske says that I don't get from you interest, I get from you profit from your
investment.
From your investment.
You're investing the money.
What if the man that took the loan, he lost money? Would I accept his loss? No, I would not accept
it. You have to accept the loss.
No, but it's not like this. We still take the insurance.
It's a different topic. Let's not.
Next week.
Next time.
Okay. So the Rabbi Shaul Akutna has in his, one of his Svarim has a Sefer HaChosh Mishpat, that's called Yeshuas Yisrael. So he writes in his Sefer, he thinks that the one Kasha of Haremf is the other Kasha. How come in Maimon Hasina there was no Bezin? And how come the Doris don't, why don't we require that the Shechina should be present? In Hasina there was a Shechina. So he thinks the one Kasha answers the other. The Olam, you really have to have the two parties in this agreement should be present. So at Harsina there was no need for a bezin because the Shechina was there. So the Shechina was there and the Gerim were there. The Doris, you need a bezin because the Lakim Nitzah Ba'adas Kel. Whenever you convene a bezin, and honest to goodness a bezin, so that we assume that there will be a hashras hashchinah to help the bezin that they shouldn't make a mistake, they should pass him properly. So the need for a bezin is only l'doris when there's no shchinah. When you have the shchinah there, then you talk, don't need a bezin. So he writes chode bechavetam mitarza. One kasha farempas the other kasha. It's interesting. When the ger accepts upon himself the Kabbalah on mitzvahs, Rabbi Gorin published an interesting tshuva. There was once a ger. It's interesting, the percentage of gerim from descendants from the Nazis is much higher than all the other nationalities. Because they wrote it in the Israeli newspapers. Every couple of years they write it. Because the descendants, the children and the grandchildren want to know, what did these Jewish people do? Well, what's all about these Jews? What did they do that my father wanted to kill him? So they investigate Judaism and they fall in love with him. Apparently it was the same after the Romans killed all the Jews after the Churban Bayis Sheni. So apparently that's how the history books write. There were so many gerim at that time. The Mishnahs talk about a lot of gerim, Tanoim. They had the Tanoim who were gerim, Talmidim and Rabbi Akiva and others. So apparently also that's how Yavetz points out. After the Churban Bayis Sheni also, there was an unusual percentage of descendants of the Roman soldiers who had killed the Jews who wanted to convert because they were investigating what is Judaism all about. So it repeated itself in our generation. So so Rabbi Gorin had a situation where there was a German non-Jew who wanted to convert, but he wanted to remain a member of the German nationality. He just wanted to adopt the Jewish religion. He didn't want to become a member of the Jewish people. So he said, we can't accept you. When a ger comes to convert, the Gemara learns that some of the dinim from the Psukim in Megillas Rus, that when Rus was going back to Eretz Yisrael with Naomi, so she said, Amech Ami Velakai Chalakoi. So you have to agree, Amech Ami, you have to agree to become part of the Jewish nation. If you just want to say, I'm going to observe the mitzvahs, that's not enough. What if it would be the reverse? That's the Shaila. What if the non-Jew wants to convert? He wants to join the Jewish people. And you know, if you're going to ask him about Shabbos, Kashrus, and Taras HaMishpacha, you're going to say he's not interested in any of that stuff. He just wants to be a member of the Jewish people. So the Pashto says that that's certainly no good. The Pashto says that it's certainly no good. That's the pilpul in Eretz Yisrael now. Some of the rabbis came up with such an einfall, as long as the non-Jew says he wants to join the Jewish people, so that's called Kabbalah on Mitzvahs. I mean, how does it fit in with Kabbalah on Mitzvahs? A little ridiculous. There is a sefer. There was a contemporary of Rabbi Akiva Eger. I think he may have been a cousin of Rabbi Akiva Eger, wrote to Sefer Beis Meir. So they published recently the tshuvas of the Beis Meir. Machon Yerushalayim published a collection of tshuvas, a manuscript of the Beis Meir. So he has a tshuva. He writes a whole wild story that there was a non-Jewish woman who was a maid in a Jewish home, so she knew all about kashrus, basa b'chala, I mean, she knew what's kosher, what's not kosher, and she knew about mikveh, because she had a babysit when the balabasta went to mikveh, she knew about Shabbos, she knew all the dinim, how to cook food on Shabbos, with the blech, with the whole story. And then she wanted to convert, so she came to the local rabbi, and she says she wants to join the Jewish people. That was the lashon, she wants to join the Jewish people. So the rabbi said, I have no time now, please come back tomorrow. So, because he was in the middle of some discussion with the other rabbanim. So she said this in the presence of three rabbanim. She wants to join the Jewish people. Then she went on her own to the mikveh lady, and she told the mikveh lady she wants to go to the mikveh. And there was nobody watching when she went to the mikveh. Then she came back the next day, so she tells the rabbi she already went to the mikveh. So the shaila was, is that called Kabbalah on mitzvahs, that she said, I want to join the Jewish people? So the Beis Meir says, would anybody in his right mind think that that's not called Kabbalah on mitzvahs? Because they lived in a community where there was no reform, there was no conservative. Joining the Jewish people meant Shabbos and Kashrus and Taras HaMishpach and the whole works. That's what it meant, joining the Jewish people. By us today, there's a concept you're Jewish and you don't keep any mitzvahs. The only thing you do is you march in an Israeli parade and you buy Israeli bonds. That's what it means to be Jewish. That's one of the mitzvahs, okay? That's one of the many mitzvahs. Yeah. Another 612 mitzvahs, in addition to marching the Israeli parade and buying Israeli bonds. So that's Bizman Hazeh. The Pashto says that it's certainly not considered a Kabbalah on mitzvahs.
So what is it today if somebody convert and he does not observe anything? He just convert and doesn't observe anything.
So the Gemara,
is he considered a Jew or if he goes back to be non-Jew?
He's not considered a Jew at all. No. If a non-Jew converts and he keeps mitzvahs for a while, and then he gives it up after a while, so the Gemara says, a ger, shechaz al asuro, he returns back to his original ways, He remains a Yisrael Mumer. He's still considered Jewish. So the question is, after how many years of keeping mitzvahs? Let's say the ger got married and had children, and then later on the ger decides to go back to his original. But the ger was keeping mitzvahs for a few years. So then the Gemara says he has a din like a Jew who converted a Yisrael Mumer. He's still considered Jewish. But what if he only kept mitzvahs for 2 days? What about for 1 week? What about for 1 month? How long? So that's a big shaila in Eretz Yisrael now. America also, it's a shaila. How long did it have to keep mitzvahs? You have to keep mitzvahs for a significant amount of time. That it should be obvious that the commitment that the ger made was really a sincere commitment, that he really intended to observe mitzvahs for the rest of his mind. And then later the ger changed his mind. But if he only keeps mitzvahs for 1 or 2 days, it's an indication the commitment was a joke. It never was a commitment at all.
So in other words, ger arayot are not considered Jewish.
Geri arayot, if
those that convert just because they want to marry a Jew, they are not considered a Jew.
Oh, so the Talmud uses the expression geri arayot in two different meanings, but two different ways. There's a story described in Tanakh in the book of Malachim about a non-Jewish nationality, the Kusim, who moved to Eretz Israel, and then the lions were attacking them. There are no lions in Eretz Israel. How would the lions attack them? So they took it as a simim in Hashemayim that they're doing something wrong. So they understood the reason why the lions are attacking them is because the God of the Jewish people is the Balabos in Eretz Israel, and they better convert to become Jewish. So the Pasuk says they converted, but they still worshipped Avodah Zarah. So they never accepted anything. So the Gemara says that's called Geri Arayos. They became converts because of the lions, and one who just converted because of the lions, so the lions were satisfied. The lions stopped attacking. The lions stopped attacking them. But the halacha says that geris is zero. That's meaningless. If there's no kabbalas on mitzvahs, the geris is not valid at all. The Rambam writes in one place that if a ger converted and there was no kabbalas on mitzvahs, b'diyeved the geris is good. So how can the Rambam say it's against the Gemara? So Rabbi Chaim Moshe has a tshuva, Rabbi Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva, Rabbi Soloveitchik said, everybody said the same thing. The Rambam means the dramatic kabbalas on mitzvahs is not miyakev, that the ger is up to his neck in the water in the mikveh, and then the bezin repeats the mitzvahs. They pause it for 5-10 minutes. They review some of the mitzvahs. They don't review all the 613 mitzvahs. They review some of the highlights, and the ger accepts the mitzvahs. So the dramatic kabbalas on mitzvahs immediately prior to the tefillah nemikveh mamish, after accepting all the mitzvahs, then he's tefillah in the mikveh. The drama is not miyakev, but the kabbalas on mitzvahs certainly is miyakev. The ger has to commit himself in the presence of the bezin previously, that he plans to observe all the mitzvahs that he knows about and all the mitzvahs that will come his way. That's one discussion the Gemara has. So if Geri Arayos, if a person just converted formally and there never was Kabbalah on mitzvah, he never committed himself to observe the mitzvahs,
when
so that...
They convert, they say yes, 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 everything, yes, but then they don't do anything.
So if they never kept
they
any...
they marry a Jew, that's why.
Right.
I didn't say Geri Arayot. Geri Arayot with Ayin.
No. So the Gemara has another discussion of Geri Arayos. What would be the din, not the way it's described in Tanakh, what would be the din of a ger who is being attacked by lions and he knows that this is a simim min hashamayim and he's frightened out of his wits and he realizes he better convert to become Jewish, but he sincerely commits himself to keep the mitzvahs and he does keep the mitzvahs, but the motivation to convert was because he wasn't religiously motivated. Wasn't because he studied about the Jewish religion, he's convinced that this is the true religion. He was frightened out of his wits. The lions were attacking him. So he said, okay, I'm going to keep all the 630 mitzvahs, I'm going to become Jewish. And he became Jewish. And he keeps all the mitzvahs. So that's a machlokes hatanaim. So the Gemara says the accepted opinion is that even though the motivation was not a sincere one, even though the motivation was he wanted to marry a Jewish girl, or she wanted to marry a Jewish boy, or he wants to get a job in the Israeli government or in the Israeli army, but he committed himself to observe the mitzvahs, and he actually observes the mitzvahs. So even though the motivation was not sincere, but the Maaseh, he did commit himself. So that's a machlokes hatanaim, and then the Gemara says, we pasuk, and that geris is good. That geri arayos. The Gemara uses the same expression. So Tosfos explains, it doesn't mean that it doesn't have the same meaning. Sometimes the geri arayos, the geris is not valid. If elohim hayu avdim, the pasuk says the kusim still worshipped avodah zarah even after they converted. So that geris was lacking kabbalas on mitzvah, so that was not valid. But if the geris was not religiously motivated, but there was a commitment, so then halacha says that geris is valid. But you're asking another question. How long, that's a serious, very serious question, how long does the ger have to observe the mitzvahs that we have the right to assume that his commitment was authentic, and he changed his mind later. And when do you say no? The fact that he didn't, if he kept mitzvahs for a couple of years, then we assume the commitment was authentic, and he changed his mind later. If he only kept mitzvahs 2 days, so then it probably this indicates that the whole commitment was a fraud in the first place. There is a dispute in the Rishonim. The Gemara describes the Seder Hadorim, the way he's supposed to do the Maisa Geirus. The Mila was done in Eretz Mitzrayim before they ate the Korban Pesach, and Tefillah was done right before Shavuos. The married people had to go to Mikveh a couple of days before, and the single people went to Mikveh on Erev Shavuos. So what if you reverse the Seder? What if you do first the Tefillah in the Mikveh, and then you do the Mila? Will that be valid or not? So that's a big machlokes in the Rishonim. And in Shulchan Aruch, we paskan that that's a sfeika de dina. So we would paskan, let's say, a man converted, and he first went to mikveh, and then he had the bris milah. So we would paskan, he has to go to mikveh again, misafik, but he shouldn't say a brocha. Usually when the ger goes to the mikveh, so he says a brocha, shekudesh ha'mitzvah ala tefila. But in this case, because it's a machlokes, whether he has to go to mikveh a second time, he went to mikveh before he had the bris milah. So does he have to really repeat the mikveh again? So the shach paskan is Shulchan Aruch, you have to repeat the tefillah b'li brocha. We had a case like that, a student in the yeshiva, years ago. A student converted 3 times. First he converted by the conservative, and then he realized that there's nothing authentic there, and then he decided to convert by Orthodox. So he went to a Lubavitch Bezdin in Hawaii. That's where he lived, apparently. And apparently they didn't know the din, that you have to first have the bris milah, then you have the mikveh. So they converted him, and then when he came to the yeshiva, he was learning the yeshiva, he had a certificate that he was Jewish, and the week before his chasana, one of the rabbis in yeshiva was going to be Masada Kedushin, so he asked him, describe to me how you had the geiris. So he describes the geiris, that first he went to the mikveh, and then they performed the bris milah. So the rabbi said, you have to go to mikveh again. So by the time he converted the third time, and then they married. Finally, they married. Usually, the Gemara says the rule is usually when a person is about to perform a mitzvah, so the bracha is recited before you perform the mitzvah, immediately before. The Gemara doesn't say you say a bracha koidem lasiyas, and the Gemara says oiva lasiyas. Oiva means immediately before, as opposed to oiva di oiva. Too far in advance is no good. So the Gemara says there are some, the Gemara too has two exceptions to the rule. The ger, who is toivel in the mikveh, he can't say Kedushana b'mitzvah v'tzivona before he goes to the mikveh. He's not Jewish yet. He has to go first to the mikveh, and after he's tovel on the mikveh, then he says the bracha, Kedushana b'mitzvah v'tzivona al ha'tfilah. The Gemara has another exception to the rule, where the bracha is recited lachar asiyasam. The Gemara says when you pick up the lulav and the esrei, so the Gemara says, well, you're going to say the bracha before you pick it up. That's too far in advance. Then you picked it up already, so you're ready yotze the mitzvah. So the Gemara says, "Baleis breire." The bracha on the lulav and the esrog is always recited. Lachar asiyasam. We are so makbid, so we outsmarted the Gemara, and we figured out. Tosfos already figured out how to say the bracha, holding on to the lulav and the esrog. You hold the esrog upside down. Some svardim hold it in the wrong hand. They hold the esrog in the right hand, the lulav in the left hand, and then they say the bracha, and then they switch hands. So the Rabbein Chananel says, hafochai, you hold it in the wrong hands. We learn hafochai if you hold the esrog upside down. So we have outsmarted the Gemara. We even go out of our way to say the bracha oivel asiyasam before the mitzvah, even by the dal minim, even though the Gemara says not so. And then on the other hand, many people are mako, when you wash until it's yadayim, when you wake up in the morning, or when you want to eat bread, let's say a person wants to eat bread, so the minig of the Balei HaTosfos was, first you wash until it's yadayim, then they say the bracha afterwards. Why? Why so? So Tosfos justifies this is a minig. This is not a din. Tosfos justifies the minig. They say, a lot of times just came out of the bathroom, just touched your shoes, you just touched the private parts of your body. So you're not allowed to say a bracha. So even if you know that your hands are clean, we don't want to get confused. So we made a loyplug. So we always say the bracha lachar asiyasam. But we were the ones, we outsmarted the Gemara to say the bracha oivel asiyasam on the lulav and the esrog, even though the Gemara says you can say lach asiyasam. So why shouldn't we be medactic over here to be careful all the time to say the bracha before? So Taisa says it is a little bit before, because the Gemara says if you wash until it's yadayim, you're not allowed to eat the bread till you dry your hands off. So the drying of your hands is also the completion of the mitzvah until it's yadayim. So it's in the middle of the mitzvah. You didn't finish the mitzvah, but it should be really oivalasiyasim before. You should really say the bracha before. So the Mishnah Berurah writes in the fine print. Those who read the fine print of Mishnah Berurah, he quotes the Rishonim. If you really want to say the bracha before, so say before. That's the more correct way to say the bracha before. Then women who go to mikveh, so some have the, many women have the practice, they say the bracha after the tovel in the mikveh. The Gemara really only says it, the Rambam quotes it like, the Gemara only says it by a ger, because the ger can't say kedushan b'mitzvah b'tzivon until after he goes to the mikveh. But so some are assumed that it goes on a balkeri, and it goes on a paleta shechazer, and it goes on everybody. Everybody goes to mikveh. So some women have the practice to have it in the Shulchan Aruch. They'll go to the mikveh, they'll dip into the mikveh, then they'll say the bracha, then they'll be tovel a second time. What did they accomplish being tovel a second time? The first tefillah was it, so the bracha is lachar asiyasim. They don't make it better by being tovel a second time, but that's a minig that's mentioned in Shulchan Aruch. So they give a whole, they knock sense into that minig. Of course, the bezin that's needed for the geiris has to be a kosher bezin. You can't have a rabbi with his two sons. That's a common practice in America. A lot of rabbis don't know the din. So the rabbi with his brother, with his son, so that's the bezin. So it's a puzzle of bezin. You have to have people who are not related to each other.
If they related to the gear?
How can they possibly be related to the gear?
No, that's right. I'm sorry.
If you have, the question is if you have an, no, no. If you have the adoptive father, let's say there's a man wants to adopt a baby. So the Gemara has a din of ger katan matbila moso adaz bezin. You can convert a little baby. We assume it's zochen liyadam shlei b'fanav. It's a schus for the little baby. Most of the poskim assume it's only a schus for the little baby if the adoptive parents are going to be observant Jews and they're going to give the child a Jewish education. They're going to give him a yeshiva education. If they themselves are not observant, or they themselves are not going to, they don't commit themselves to give the child a yeshiva education, so the whole conversion is no good. So the question is whether the adoptive father can serve as a member of the Bezna or not. He's not related to the child, Alpinin is not a Korah, but he's an Ager Bedover. He certainly wants to facilitate this. He wants to make sure that this conversion takes place. So that's a question. This is a very serious question. What's the nature of the Bezdin by Geris? Is it just a formality? Like at a chasana, the halacha requires you have to have two witnesses watching. And the Gemara says, if you don't have witnesses watching, a boy takes a girl out on a date and he gives her a ring. And he says, Hare mukudeshesli, and there's nobody listening, so the kiddushin is not valid. That's what we call edus l'kiyam adover. If there are no witnesses watching, the whole kiddushin didn't take effect at all. So is it just that you need a bezin l'kiyam adover? You have a bezin should be watching when the ger converts. Or do you require also that the bezin should participate in the conversion? The bezin is representing the Shechina to accept the ger. That's how we said Rabbi Shaul HaKutna said. Beis HaLevi has such an idea also in his commentary on Chumash. He thinks the Bezin represents Klal Yisrael. The Bezin represents Klal Yisrael, that we are accepting the ger. Rabbi Shaul HaKutna says Bezin represents the Shechina, that's the other party to the agreement over here. So if it's the Bezin who are accepting the ger, they play an active role in the Gerus, so then you should have people on the Bezin who are not in the Ger Bedover. So if it's the adopted father is going to be a member of the Bezin, he's certainly in the Ger Bedover. He wants this Gerus to take effect. So that's not really right. So that's a serious question. It's not really right. It's not really right. We should follow what the Beis HaLevi said and what Rabbi Shaul HaKutna said, that the Bezin plays an active role in the gear. It's not just passive, that they stand on the side and they watch, they supervise the way he's tevil. They are accepting the gear, and they have to determine, they have to decide that he's a good candidate for conversion, and we are accepting him. So they have to interview him in advance, not just to watch on the side. Yeah.
Would you require that all three dayanim have to be involved in it? In other words, not like a heter nedarim or something like that, where only the one
dayan
has to know the particular.
Shulchan Aruch says that by hataras and darim, as long as the person tells the neder to one of the three, that's good enough. Here, the pashtus is all three should interview the candidate. They should interview him in advance, and then they should all be present in the mikveh when the ger is converting. When we ask him all the questions, do you commit yourself to observe all the mitzvahs? So they have to be present, and they have to all decide that they think that he's a proper candidate for conversion. Pashtus is all three should participate.
What are the conditions for a woman to be a Gioris de Oraisi?
The same conditions. The question is that you have to have a Bezdin watching when the woman is Tevel in the mikveh, but she's not going to have any clothes on. So how can you... No. I said Professor Zeitlin. Who killed Jesus? Salman Zeitlin. So Salman Zeitlin had such a chiddush that the tefillah is midrabbanan and the carbon is midrabbanan, but everything is said as a joke. That's not correct. We learn out from Maimon HaSinai that the tefillah is deraisa and the carbon is deraisa. Everything is deraisa and the bezin is deraisa. So the pashtus says that the bezin is likuva. So how can Tesis ask this question? How can you have a bezin of three people watching when the woman goes to the mikveh? So Tesis has one suggestion that you don't. That's a chumrah by a man, a chumrah mid rabbanon, that you need the kabbalas on mitzvahs immediately prior to the tefillah in the mikveh. When the man is in the mikveh up to his neck in water, then the bezin should review the highlights of the 613 mitzvahs. If it's a woman, so you don't need the mikveh lady can go. You don't need the bezin watching when the woman goes to the mikveh. All you need is that the bezin should be present previously when she's all dressed when she makes the kabbalas on mitzvahs. So this was the practice by many tzaddikim and gedolim throughout all the generations. They wouldn't be in the mikveh room. When a woman would be tovel in the mikveh, they would either stand across the street or stand outside in a different room. They would rely on the mikveh lady. There used to be a dayan in London, dayan Grosnas, label Grosnas, they learned para baruch ber. So he wrote a whole tshuva where he shows that this is a fundamental machlokes of Rishonim, and he thinks that we should, he quotes those tzaddikim who had that practice in Eretz Yisrael and in Europe and so on. And he recommends, his conclusion is that we shouldn't follow that practice. We should insist the bezin should be in the room. The woman should wear a bathrobe. The mikveh lady checks to make sure that she has no chatzitza. Then the woman wears a loose bathrobe, so it's not a chatzitza. And the bezin comes into the room, and they don't see the woman's body. And then they review the mitzvahs, and you have the kabbalas on mitzvahs. So he sent his tshuva originally to Rav Moshe Feinstein. And Moshe wrote a tshuva to him agreeing. Rav Moshe didn't know what his name was. His name was Grosnas, so he thought his name was Grosnam. With a mem, so he has a mistake. And Rav Moshe's tshuva, he has a tshuva to dying Grosnam. So he, Rav Moshe agrees. He says also, he sees that it's a machlokes of Rishonim. And he says, more correct is that even those women who had already converted and the bezin was not in the room, they should be converted, they should be tovel again in the presence of the bezin to make sure that they're Jewish. Yeah, this was an issue. There were many women. This was a common practice. There were many women who would convert. And many Rabbanim had the practice. They wouldn't be in the mikveh room when the women would convert. They'd be in the other room. And then some of them changed their practice when they heard that Moshe Feinstein wrote a tshuva, Dai Grossman's wrote a tshuva. So they changed it. So the question is, but some of these women already have grandchildren who are learning in yeshivas. They have to go tell everybody. Everybody has to be Megayer all over again. The woman doesn't know the din. So maybe we should leave it the way it is. I mean, leave it the way it is, but she's not Jewish. She's living with a Jewish man. And her children are not Jewish. All the children are not Jewish. So there is a din in the Gemara about a mamzer sheni yadua. If someone is a mamzer, let's say the mother remarried, she never got a get, and she had children from the second husband. The first husband was Jewish, and she was really married to the first husband. So all the children from the second husband are mamzer. So let's say the children are not, if the children know that the mother remarried without a get, but they don't know that, that's called a mamzer. That's called a mamzer yadua. They know the whole story, they don't know the din. But what if they don't even know the facts? One person knows the facts, the rabbi in the community knows the facts, that this woman remarried without a get. But the children don't even know the story. They don't know the mother was previously married. So that's called the mamzer sheni yadua. So the Gemara says, strictly speaking, whenever there's a suffix mamzer, a mamzer sheni yadua, it's muta menatur. Mamzer suffix, a mamzer sheni yadua is muta menatur. With the rabbanon, they prohibited a suffix mamzer, that's a shtuki basufi, a suffix mamzer is also with the rabbanon. But that's only if there's a idea that there's a suffix mamzeris. We know that there's a suffix. The woman doesn't know who she slept with. So she doesn't know who the father of the child is. So that's considered a suffix mamzer. But if it's mamzer sheni yadua, the people are getting married, don't even know that they don't have the foggiest notion that there's any issue at all. So then the Gemara has a din, mishpacha shenitma'o, spelled with an ayin. If the psul of mamzeris got lost in a certain family, no one is aware of that there's even an issue. So it's not even called the suffix mamzer, so that's even mutter midrabbanan. So the Gemara says the Tanoim, when they knew of such a case, they wouldn't go tell the people, you're not allowed to marry a Jewish girl, you have to dafke marry a mamzer or a ger. they were just schweig. They wouldn't talk about it because mamzer sheni yedu is mutter. They would tell their students, don't marry girls from over there. The Gemara says the reason why, because ein ashchina shora el ha-mishpachas miyuchasu shabi Yisrael. So since there is mamzeris in that family, so if you're going to marry into that family, so your children won't have the qualifications to become Bali Ruach HaKodesh. Ein ashchina shora el ha-mishpachas miyuchasu shabi Yisrael. So they would tell their Talmidim, stay away from these families. But they wouldn't be machris, they wouldn't announce that those families have Safik Mamzeris, because Mamzeris, that's not Yodua, is Mutter. So there were some Rabbanim who were the minority of Rabbanim in America, were of the very tiny minority, teeny, weeny minority, were of the opinion that the same applies to Goyas. That if a woman converted and the Bezim wasn't present in the mikvah, and that's a Sveka Adina, whether that woman is Jewish or not, so she's supposed to be Megayir again, and all of her children should be Megayir. So there was such an opinion that just like Mamzer Shein Yadua is Mutter Lava Bekol, so Goy Shein Yadua is also Mutter Lava Bekol. So I remember there was once, around 15 years ago, there was a dayan from the Rabbanut, and Eretz Yisrael was visiting in America. He's walking in the halls of the yeshiva, so the rabbis caught him in the halls. We started talking to him about halacha issues. Then we said, what do you say about this? He said, that's utterly ridiculous. So we asked him, could you write a tshuva to that effect? He said, the world will laugh at me. What is there to write a tshuva? You have to write a tshuva when there's an issue. When there's nothing to discuss, you don't write a tshuva. So by him, it was so pashut, by most of the rabbis and yeshivas also pashut, that there's nothing to discuss. But now, in Eretz Yisrael, some of the rabbanim pointed out, the Rabbi Zalman Meltzer held like that. He writes in his Sefer on the Rambam, and Eben also like that, that if you have a goish and a yodua, so he says that the same din of mamzeris applies there too. It's a very big chiddush din. The Pashto says that it's not correct. There is a big issue. Let's say you have a couple is married, a non-Jewish woman never had a proper conversion. She's living with a Jewish man, and they have a baby, and they call a mayel. The mayel does a bris milah, thinking that this is a Jewish baby. He says all the brachos. He thought it's a Jewish child. He didn't realize that it's a non-Jewish baby. He didn't do the bris milah, the shem geiris. He did this bris milah, the shem mitzvahs milah. And then later on, the child goes to NCSY, whatever, he finds out that he's not Jewish and he wants to convert. So does he have to have Hatofas Tambris again, L'shem Geiris? And he say, no, since the Moel did the Mila, it was a Jewish Moel, he did the Mila, L'shem Mitzvahs Mila, so that's acceptable, and it's not necessary that it has to be done L'shem Geiris. So that, if you can call it, that was a big machloikis. 95% of the Rabbonim held that there's no need to repeat the Bris Mila. Absolutely published like that. He printed this based on a Ramban, and he has a mazel based on a Ramban in Yevamah. So when they printed the wrong daf in the Ramban. The Ramban on daf Mem Vav, so they printed the daf Nun Vav. He has a big mazel, yeah. So Rav Soloveitchik thought like the majority opinion that if the Mila was done, the Shem Mitzvah, there's no need to repeat it. The Minchas Yitzchak was the Goyen HaBezn of Yerushalayim for the Eilach HaRedis. So he has a tshuva. He was an Ungarisha. So he quotes 15 poskim say lahakel, and one Hungarian posik says lahakma. So of course he wins. The Hungarian posik wins against everybody else. So he says lahakma. That even though the mila was done the shem mitzvah, you have to repeat it again. So most of the rabbanim will not. If the bris mila was done the shem mitzvah, wasn't done the shem geris, they'll just be toivel the person in a mikveh, but they'll write in the ksav geris that the mila was done the shem mitzvah, wasn't done the shem geiris, and we assume that it's good. So if anybody later on will question it, okay, so if someone won't be happy about it, so they'll have the ability to do it. Is this, I'm doing hatofas tambris again, to
how
do it over again.
How far do you extend the shem mitzvah here? We have thousands of Jewish baby boys who are the product of an intermarriage between a non-Jewish mother and a Jewish father, and they go to their reform rabbi, whoever it is, and they get a moel who's not Orthodox, and he gives the baby a
gris.
Is that considered the
shame
mitzvah?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, that's considered the
shame
mitzvah.
What happens in the situation where the woman decides to convert is already pregnant?
That's the next topic. I'm just about to talk about that. Good. Everything is going in order tonight. Good. So there is a Gemara in Yeromis, Dafayim Ches, and Allah. The Gemara says, Mu'uberish and his Gaira. A woman is pregnant and she wants to convert, and she wants to convert the baby as well. So the Gemara says, normally when a person wants to convert, you have to be toivel in the mikveh. So we should really insist after the baby is born, we should be toivel a baby in the mikveh again. So the Gemara says, when the baby is born, there's no need to do another tefillah. the tefillah that the mother did when she was pregnant is oila for the baby as well. That's the question. What if it's a baby boy? The Gemara's lashon is mumberish and isgari beno eino tzorach tefillah. So beno means her son, or beno means her child, her daughter. Beno means her son. So how can you do the mila? Is got to follow the tefillah. We insist you have to do first the mila, then the tefillah. He's giving the tefillah first. So that's a whole discussion in the Rishonim. Taisus and the Rishonim are not Gemara. So the Gemara says that the tefillah in the mikveh the mother does is good for the baby. There's no need to repeat the tefillah later. The Gemara asks, why is that so? So there's a famous dispute in the Tanoim regarding the status of an uber. Do we say uber yerechimoy? It's considered as if the uber, the fetus inside, is an extra limb of the mother. So it's only one guf. So the tefillah in the mother is good for all of her organs. That's another organ. Or should we assume uber lav yerechimoy? The two different gufim. So the mother needs tefillah in the mikveh, the baby needs tefillah. Gemara says, even if you should assume buba lavi arachimai, it's not eva mevara, the two different gufim. The mother's body is not a chatzitza, because that's the natural growth. That's the way babies are born. That's okay. It's a big discussion exactly what that means. It's nagia la'alocha in other areas. What constitutes a chatzitza? Let's say a woman has to go to mikveh, married woman goes to mikveh. So let's say she has a cast on that's necessary for medical purposes to leave the cast on. So whatever is necessary for medical purposes is not called a chatzitza. And how long does it have to be then? What if you have stitches? How long do the stitches have to be? 9 months. The baby's 9 months inside the mother's body. Has to be stitches have to be for 9 months or for 1 month or for 1 week. All discussion in the poskim. What do you see from this Gemara about the chatzitza? But kalponim, that's what it says in the Gemara. So the Nadi Yehuda has comments on the side of the Shulchan Aruch that's called Dogam Lervava, printed on the margin of the Shulchan Aruch. So he says that the Bezin has to, whenever there's a woman who's converting, they have to ask the woman, is she pregnant? Because if the Bezin is not aware that the woman is pregnant, so they're only supervising her mikveh, her geris, they're not. You can't say the Bezin supervised the geris of the Uber. They weren't even aware of the fact that that the woman was pregnant. So a couple of years ago, a single girl decided to convert, and the Bezin asked her whether she's pregnant. So she said, of course not, she's single, how can she be pregnant? So then 2 months later she realized a miracle occurred, she's pregnant. So she was all nervous, she told them a lie, but it was b'shogeg, she didn't realize that she was pregnant. So she had a rabbi call me up, the rabbi who participated in her conversion called me up, does that invalidate her conversion? So I said, no, her conversion is good. Just when the baby will be born, the baby will be a goy. You have to be toivel a baby again. So the rabbi thanked me. Then he calls me up the next month. He says there was a conference on geiris, and he attended it. And he was discussing the case with some of the rabbanim. So this is quite a few years ago, about 7-8 years ago. Rabbi Yashiv was still alive. That's the punchline in the story. So he says he attended this conference on Geirus, and one of the Rabbanim say, what does she have to wait till after the baby's born? Let her go to mikveh now, a second time. The first time she went to mikveh was for herself, convert herself. Second time, she tell the rabbi she's pregnant, and she wants to be tovel in the mikveh for the baby. So the rabbi calls me up, and he said, why don't you recommend like that? So I said, I don't think that's correct. I think the Gemara says the tefillah of the mother is good for the baby, even though the water in the mikveh doesn't come anywhere near the baby. The baby's inside a sack, inside the mother's womb. I think it's agav, the mother. The mother's converting, so the tefillah is good for the mother, it's good for the baby as well. But if the mother's only going to be tevel in the mikveh only for the conversion of the baby, I thought it was no good. So my son, my youngest son, was learning in Eretz Yisrael at that time. That was quite a few years ago. So I asked him, ask around the Rabbanim. He was learning in Yerushalayim. I said, ask the Rabbanim, what do they say there? So he decided he's going to go ask Rabbi Yashiv. So he went through the Shulchan Aruch, and he went through the Poskim on the Shulchan Aruch, and he asked one of the Rabbanim to bring it into Rabbi Yashiv. So he asked Rabbi Yashiv. He was only something like 95 years old at that time. But he was still very clear. So he asked him, he said, right away, it's no good. So my son said, but is it Teferis L'Moshe? He said, no, the two gears in the Teferis L'Moshe, one is in parentheses, one is in brackets. This one is correct, the other one is incorrect. Right like this, he said, it's no good. So the rabbi who took him in started to argue with him. So he started arguing, no, but this not. He said, no, I already worked through this years ago. It's no good, it's not exactly. It's a shiloh. It's a shiloh. I thought the pash this is that it's certainly no good.
But what happens if the mother after going through the conversion somewhere and then has the baby? And then a few months later, who rejects it. I'm sure that's happened.
Rejects what?
The religion.
Yes.
So she's gone through the, and she realized now it's the seventh month, eighth month, so she wants to have the baby Jewish. So she goes through this, and 3 months after the baby is born, she's not keeping the mitzvahs anymore. Does it affect the conversion of the baby?
And who's going to raise the baby? She's going to raise the baby. She's giving the baby up for adoption?
I assume she's going to continue to raise the baby. Is the baby Jewish because they went through this and she was not?
We assume that you can convert an infant or even a fetus if he's going to, if it's a schus. Rabbi Yitzchak Hanan was a big paisik over 100 years ago. He died over 100 years ago. And most of the paskim agreed with Rabbi Yitzchak Hanan. It's only considered a schus for the baby to be converted if he's going to be brought up by religious parents. So let's say he's brought up by non-observant parents. So the Gemara says when the child becomes bar mitzvah, bas mitzvah, so if they reject the taiva that you did for them, so then the whole geirus is invalidated. That's the principle by every case of zochen liyadam shleibavana. The original din of zochen liyadam shleibavana means if I want to give a gift to someone who's not here, so I give you the $1,000 and ask you please pick it up to be kind of for the person who's not here. So you say who everybody wants $1,000. So zochen liyadam shleibavana. But then when he finds out about it, and he says I don't want to be indebted to shechta, I don't want the gift. So then he cancels the zochen. It's considered as it. First he agrees to the gift, and then tomorrow he changes his mind. So we say once he agreed to it, so the gift is his. If he doesn't mind it, let him be mafke the money. So the same is true by the ger katan. We are megayer. We can convert the little infant or the fetus based on the assumption that he's going to have, if he's being adopted, if it seems that he's being adopted by observant parents who commit themselves to give him a Jewish education, then you can say zochen liyadam shleibavanav. And then later on, when he reaches bar mitzvah, bas mitzvah, the child can either accept or reject it. So Rabbi Yashiv had a unique opinion which nobody follows. He liked the opinion of the Ritva, and that Gemara in Ksubis, that when the child reaches 12 or 13, you have to convene a bezdin in the daytime. A bezdin can only be convened in the daytime. And ask the child, do you commit yourself to observe the mitzvahs in the Torah? Because we were missing a big chunk of the conversion. The Kabbalah on mitzvahs didn't take place when he was an infant. So later when the child reaches the age of 12 or 13, we need Kabbalah on mitzvahs in the presence of the Bezdin. But that was never practiced. There is such an opinion. The Ritva was of that opinion. But that was never the practice. And most Bate Dinim do not do that.
So unless the 13-year-old rejects...
No, if the child grows up and he's brought up by the non-observant mother, so that's by definition a rejection. He's demonstrating he's not interested in the whole religion at all. The mother's not observant.
What happens if he does nothing?
Does
he
nothing.
Now turns 13. But he has a bar mitzvah. He's not keeping all the mitzvahs. What is his status?
He's keeping some of the mitzvahs, not all the mitzvahs.
That's right. And he has bar mitzvah. It's a typical, many situations.
You got to judge each case individually. It's a big problem. It's a serious problem. Yeah.
When did this process start? And we terrorize possible gerim, and it goes on for years, 1 year, 2 years.
No, we don't terrorize.
Yeah,
you do. It's not proper to terrorize. That's improper. But you try to discourage them.
But when did this become a 1 year, 2 year, 3 year process? In the old days.
That's a recent thing because the Bate Dinim see that there are people who just kind of want to marry. They're not sincere about their conversion. So they want to make sure that the candidate for conversion is really sincere. So they say, we want you to live in a Jewish community for a year and go to shul and daven and keep mitzvahs and so on and so forth to see if you're really sincere. Do you think you'll really be able to? A non-Jew is going to commit himself to observe Shabbos. They're going to find out what Shabbos is all about. It's very difficult to observe. Taras HaMishpacha is very difficult. Recently, there was a girl from my neighborhood who wanted to convert. So the Bezdin that converted her was reviewing all the laws of Taras HaMishpacha. So she said, what do I have to know about Taras HaMishpacha? My partner is a woman. So they converted her anyway. But if she doesn't plan to observe the laws of the Torah, that's also one of the laws of the Torah.
You're talking to someone and you realize, this guy might be Mako and we never had such a thing. In the old days, you said, but God would come in. I know a family that Rav Moshe told them, the question was, the child was born. They adopted him within a few weeks. So they asked, so he said, was a child brought up in a Jewish family keeps mitzvahs? The Jewish committee accepts him as Jewish. Yeah, he thinks he said he's Jewish.
Okay.
But there was no gay. Then he finally sent it to the mikveh after he was 15 years old or something. What's the story? She's gay. What that means? She can't be a gay.
You can't accept a ger if he tells me in advance.
Any ger that then doesn't do every mitzvah or does an aver is no longer a ger?
No. The ger has to commit himself to keep all of the mitzvahs. So if later on they don't keep all the mitzvahs, so we're not achray. But if he tells me up front, the woman is a ger, she plans to marry a kohen. So we tell her, we can't convert you. You're telling us in advance, you're going to violate a din. So we can't convert them. The Gemara says, even if the person says, I want to keep all the mitzvahs, but I don't like Purim. Because you celebrate the victory against the non-Jews, I'm from Persia. So we can't accept such a convert. Even if it's one din midirabbanan, you're not supposed to accept such a convert. What's the din b'diyevet if you did accept such a convert? That's a big machlokes. So the Mishnah Berurah talks about it. He thinks that even b'diyevet it's no good. I'll just say it is good b'diyevet. No, but you're not supposed to accept such a convert.
I think I'm going to ask that we keep the questions to a minimum, or not at all, if you don't mind, until after the shiur. And after the shiur, I'm sure Rav Schechter will be happy to answer any questions. This way, everybody will be able to get the continuity of the shiur.
Yeah, we mentioned that if it's an adult ger who's converting, so he says the bracha ala tfila after he comes out of the mikveh. Tavo v'yola, after he comes out of the mikveh, because he can't say the bracha before. What if you're converting a baby? So the infant doesn't say the bracha. So maybe the Bezdin should say the bracha. The Bezdin, the members of the Bezdin, are Jewish. So maybe they should say the bracha in advance. So the Ravid, the famous Ravid, wrote a sefer that's called Bali HaNefesh, has all the laws of Taras HaMishpachi, has the laws of Mikvos. In his sefer, he talks about this. So he thinks, he writes explicitly, the Bezdin should recite the bracha because since the members of Bezdin are Jewish already, to let them say the bracha in advance. Rav Soloveitchik told us that once in his lifetime he participated in the conversion, only once. One of the mesmachim from the yeshiva was married and they didn't have any children, so he felt bad for him, so he participated in the conversion of a baby girl. And then in the middle, when they were tevel a baby, so he started to wonder, he didn't think in advance. When do you say the bracha? Does the Bezdin say the bracha before? Does the Bezdin say the bracha after? So he had to decide on the spot. So he thought maybe the Bezdin should say the bracha afterward. Maybe kach tikna chachamim, but the bracha by Geras is always recited after. The Ravid writes, not so. The Ravid writes that the bracha should be recited in advance. But we mentioned previously, the Sefer Derech Pikudecha by the Chassidish Rebbe, the one who wrote the Bnei Yisachar, Apirish Melech Diva, so he talks about that. So he suggests that since Higdilu Yecholim Limcha, since if it's an infant, if it's a child that's being converted, and it's based on Zochon Le'adam Shleib Efanav, so when the child reaches maturity, when the child reaches the age of 12 or 13, they can reject the whole Geiris, even though it's far-fetched. If the child's going to be brought up by observant parents, and they're going to be sent to yeshiva with a Torah education, so usually the child is not going to reject the Jewish status. But since there is a possibility the child may reject the whole Geiris, so the Bnei Yisachar thinks that no bracha should be recited at all because it's Safik brachas lehokel. Either Ravid said not so. The Ravid said he doesn't quote the Ravid. He didn't have the Balei HaNefesh. Either Ravid says you do say a bracha. So the Pashto says the Ravid shita is that Safik brachas lehokel. In other places the Ravid writes, not over here. The Ravid's opinion is that Safik brachas lehokel because bracha is only the Rabbanan, and Safik the Rabbanan is lehokel. But if you have a rove, then you would say the bracha. So here the Gemara seems to imply the rove is, the likelihood is that a child who is adopted by observant parents and gets a Jewish education, the likelihood is not going to reject his Jewish status. So the Ravid Lishitosa would say that you say a bracha. We happen not to follow that Ravid. We hold that whenever there's any Sofik, even if you have a rove, you also don't say a bracha. So the Pashto is that Taki, you really shouldn't say a bracha. I participated a few times in conversions for little babies, so we talk the Bezdin doesn't say a bracha, not by the Milo and not by the Tefillah in the Mikveh, because there is a possibility of Higdili Yecholim Limchais.
Is the bracha recited at any point later?
No. The bracha has to be recited right at the time of the Mikveh, either right before or right after. You can't say a bracha years later. You always have to say the bracha b'shas when you perform the mitzvah. Yeah. We had recently, the first time we ever had such a shaila, we had a convert, he could have sworn that he's Jewish. His father's Jewish, his mother's not Jewish, and he always thought he was Jewish, and then he found out he's not. So he talks like a Jew, he looks like a Jew. Never went to yeshiva though, but he looks like he's Jewish. So he wanted to convert, he married a nice Jewish girl. So he was tefillin in the mikveh, everything was fine, he keeps all the mitzvahs. And then we're waiting until he comes out of the mikveh. It's taking so long, so we hear that he took a shower right after the tefillah in the mikveh. So there's a big machlokes in Shulchan Aruch whether a married woman who goes to mikveh, is she permitted to take a shower the same day after she goes to the mikveh? There was a big machlokes in the days of the Rishonim. There is a chumrim mid rabbanon. Rashi in Masechah Shabbos interprets a gemara that there's a chumrim mid rabbanon that a person who is tummy, who goes to mikveh, and the same day before Ha'erev Shemesh takes a shower, or one opinion even takes a bath, that's two versions in Rashi, that mid rabbanon, that undoes the tefillah in the mikveh. So the Ramah in Shulchan Aruch quotes this chumra that a married woman who goes to mikveh shouldn't take a shower until Ha'erev Shemesh or the next day. Some rabbanim say that it only means she shouldn't take a shower in the building of the mikveh. When she goes home, it's okay. And Rav Moshe Feinstein does not hold like that. Rav Moshe Feinstein writes that the chumra even applies when she goes home. She shouldn't take a shower bath.
What is the reason?
The Gemara gives a whole reason that in the days of the Tanoim, they couldn't filter out all the dirt from the mikveh. So the mikveh used to be filthy and smelly. So the people would go, anyone who was Tanoim, men or women, they used to go to the mikveh. Then they would take a shower right afterwards. So they thought that that's part of the religious procedure. You go to the mikveh, then you take the shower. Then they figured, what do you need the mikveh for? The mikveh is all smelly and dirty water. So let's just take the shower. And the shower was possible because it's Mayim Shuvim. So they made a gzeirah midrabbanan, even if you went to the mikveh, then you took the shower the same day before Ha'erev Shemesh. So that undoes the tefillah and the mikveh l'mafreya. So this is one of the, I think there were 14 shilas that the Or Zeruah sent to the Tosfos Rid. The Or Zeruah lived in Vienna. He lived in the Vienna. I don't know, how did he know that Tosfos Rid existed in Italy? I don't know how did he send the letter? I don't know. So he sent a long letter with 14 shilas, and he printed all the 14 answers. So this is one of the shilas, should we be machmer like the chumra of the Balei HaTosfos, that the women shouldn't take a shower or a bath the same day? So the Tosfos Rid makes fun of it. It's ridiculous. It doesn't make any sense. And then the Or Zeruah says, even I sent him a shaila, and I plan to follow whatever he's going to tell me, but this I can't follow him because this is such a widespread minhag. In Ashkenaz, everybody has this chumr. And the Ramah quotes it in Yeridea, the end of that simen about tefillah and mikvah. So the shaila was whether the chumr applies to a ger or not. We never had such a shaila before. It never even occurred to us that there's such a shaila. Yeah, it's a chumr by Kores, by Hilchas Nidim, Islam, the chumr doesn't apply over here.
So what did you pass?
He already did it. The whole thing is only a chumra. But the question is, do we have to tell a ger in the future that he shouldn't take a shower until Ha'erev Shemesh? The mikveh always has to be in the daytime. The ger is always in the daytime because he can't convene a bezin balayla. So maybe we should tell in the future. Maybe we should tell all the gerim that they shouldn't take a shower or a bath until nightfall. But so far we didn't do it. Okay. There is some of the achrenim have a suggestion that as soon as the ger comes out of the mikveh, he should say shachyanu. That's a bria chadosh, something new. Some rabbanim follow that practice. Most do not follow that practice. There was a practice that's mentioned in the commentaries on the side of the Yerideya, that the ger who converts shave off all the hair on his body before he converts, just like the levim had to do tiklachas alevim in order to shake off the tumas avodizora. So they had to do tiklacha, so some had such a practice. I haven't heard of anybody in recent years following that practice. If you have a non-Jewish woman who converts, so the Gemara says she's supposed to wait 92 days until she marries in case she'll have a baby. So we should know whether the baby was hairasa, bigdusha, hairasa, shaloi, bigdusha. If it'll be a baby girl, let's say a woman is pregnant and she converts and she has a baby girl, so even though the baby doesn't need any new conversion, but the Gemara says that baby, Harasa Shalabigdusha, is not permitted to marry a Kohen. If you have a baby girl who is Harasa Shalabigdusha, and the mother converted in the middle of the pregnancy, so that girl is not permitted to marry a Kohen. A Gioris is not permitted to marry a Kohen. Even if the Gioris was converted at a very young age, also the Gemara says she's not permitted to marry a Kohen. A Ger and a Gioris are not prohibited from marrying a Mamzer. Lo Yava Mamza B'Kahal Hashem only refers to the Mamza marrying one who is Jewish. One who is born a Jew, but Gahal Gerim La Yikri calls so a Ger, a Ger is even descendants of Gerim. Let's say both parents were Gerim and have children, so the children are permitted to marry Mamzerim. Their children will be Mamzerim, though, even though they're permitted to marry a Mamzer, the descendants will be Mamzerim. That's a problem. That's a problem. Just this week, a man calls me up on the phone. His daughter is dating a boy in the yeshiva, and they like each other. And on the fifth date, the boy told the girl that he is a Cholol, that his parents were not observant, and then after he went to yeshiva, he got his parents to be a little bit observant, but not 100%. So his father is a Kohen, and his father married a Grusha. So he's a Cholol. So he told the girl that if they like each other, said, if we marry, if we have daughters, the daughters will be restricted. They can't marry a Kohen. And if we have sons, the sons' daughters won't be able to marry Kohen. So that's a decision that the girl has to make, whether she's prepared. So the father asked me, what do I say? What can I say? It's her decision whether she wants to marry the boy. She likes him. His Rebbe told him that he doesn't have to tell the girl on the first date. He should wait till they get to know each other. And so he waited till the fifth date. They weren't yet, now they're ready on the tenth date. So after the fifth date, she's still interested, even though she heard that he's a chol. So if a giyoris marries a mamzer, the din is it's permissible, but all the children would be mamzer. So that you're gonna just continue the problem. There was a big dispute in the commentaries on Shulchan Aruch. A non-Jewish woman converts. Let's say this girl, who didn't realize that she was pregnant, she converts, and then she realizes that she is pregnant. So, do you say that she's not allowed to get married for the first 92 days? We know that she's pregnant. The whole purpose of waiting 92 days is in order to know whether she's pregnant or not, whether the baby is harasa b'kedusha, harasa shlo b'kedusha. We know that she's pregnant. So that was a big machlekes, the commentaries on the Shulchan Aruch. And in recent years, since the Minchas Chinuch was written, the Minchas Chinuch is usually a Sefer Pilpul, usually doesn't say Psokim Halacha L'Maaseh, but the Minchas Chinuch takes a stand on this issue. He quotes a Rambam in the wrong place. The Rambam is in Hilchas Malachim, when the Rambam writes the dinim of Yefas Toyar, so the Rambam is explicit that you only need the 92 days when you're not sure. When you know, when it's not a loy plug rabbonim, whenever you know that that the woman is not the pregnant. So that's what Rabbi Moshe Feinstein was mekel, and his tshuvas is mekel a little bit, but when people ask the malpeh who is mekel more, then whenever you take a pregnancy test, and you know one way or the other whether the woman is pregnant or not. So not all pregnancy tests are so reliable. But if you have a reliable pregnancy test, and you know one way or the other the woman is or is not pregnant, so then we would permit her to get married. There used to be the Jewish agency would always call one Mizrahi rabbi in America whenever they had non-Jews who wanted to convert, so they would always call one certain rabbi, he should do all the conversions. So he used to do a lot of times the conversion, and the same day they had a ksav geiris for the woman, and the same day he would be Masada Kedushin. So they used to call him up every so often, they would call him on the phone, how can you be Masada Kedushin the same day, you have to wait 92 days. So he would always give him the same answer. The Menchas Chinuch is quoted by the late Poskin that we have a right from the Rambam that it's not a loy plug rabban.
She was pregnant?
No, she was not pregnant, no. But they took a pregnancy test, so they ascertained that she was not pregnant, so we rely on that. Yeah. The Gemara has a statement that if a Jew converts to another religion, so he still remains Jewish as Yisrael Mom, he's still considered Jewish. This was a big dispute in the Rishonim. Is this a din menator or is this a din mederabbanan that he's still considered Jewish? So some goyim were of the opinion that a Jew who converts is not Jewish, period. He's not mechuyev to keep any mitzvahs. I can use him as my Shabbos goy and I can sell a chometz to him. He's not Jewish. It's only a chumer mederabbanan that we should treat him as if he still is Jewish. Where do they get it? Usually assume not so. Usually we assume once a person is Jewish, he remains Jewish. There's no way to shake off your status as a Jew. But there was such an opinion in the days of the Goyim that a Jew who converts to another religion, just because he doesn't keep anything, he's an apikoiris, he doesn't become a Goy, but if he officially converts to another religion, so then there was an opinion in the days of the Goyim that such a person loses his status as a Jew. The Gaonim discussed whether Muma ain't a zaykek. Let's say a man dies leaving no a married man dies leaving no children, so his wife has to have chalitza from the surviving brother. So what if the surviving brother is a mishumet? He converted to Christianity. Does he have to do the chalitza? Can he do the chalitza? So the Gaonim were of the opinion that a mumah ain't a zaykek. If the brother, the surviving brother, is a mishumet, mamish, she converted to another religion, there's no need for chalitza. She's permitted to remarry without it. So in the Shulchan Aruch, they quote this lechumra. If there are two surviving brothers and one converted to another religion, one is Jewish, so the one is Jewish lives in Russia, and the one is converted lives over here. So we would be machmer like the Gaonim that the mumah ain't a zaykek. You have to have the other brother do the chalitza. But if there's only one surviving brother and the one brother is converted to another religion, would we be mekel? The Gaonim said lahakol. The Gaonim said mikra din like that. So we really don't chacham avadi. I think was mekel about that. But generally speaking, we don't accept that opinion. We hold that once a person is Jewish, he remains Jewish. The whole issue comes up because in Shulchan Aruch they quote from Maseches Sofrim, I think, that if a Jew who converted to another religion wants to become Jewish again, wants to be chayzer b'tshuva, so you have to be megayer him and take him to the mikveh. So in the Shulchan Aruch they quote that. So what do you mean you have to take him to the mikveh? But he was Jewish all along. So most assume it's only a chumer mederabbanan. And the Gaonim understood, no, it's a real din d'oraisa. Once he converted to another religion, he's not Jewish at all. This was a big, there was a whole hullabaloo before the Second World War. Before the Second World War, 1920s, 1930s, a man died in Germany and he had no children and his wife needed chalitza. There were two surviving brothers. So one brother lived in Berlin and he had converted to Christianity. That was the style then. And the other brother was a communist who was an atheist. So the Shaila, and they knew that the communist hated all religion, out of the question. He's not gonna perform the chalitza. And the brother converted to Christianity was a nice guy, so they thought he probably would agree to do the chalitza. So the Shaila was whether they can ask the brother to do the chalitza. So the Sri Yesh was in Berlin at that time. So he wrote a tshuva. And he said he thinks that it's no good. He says that we are machmer like the Gaonim, that the brother who converted is a goy, and can't do the chalitza. So it happened that the Ragat Shabbat Goyen would go to Germany once in a while for medical treatment. So he was in Germany, and the rabbi from the village where this couple lived, the rabbi went to visit him in the hospital and asked him, what does he say? So he says, what are you talking about? He's Jewish. Let the Meshumah do the chalitza. So he said that Rabbi Weinberg said not. So he says, I never heard of this Weinberg. I'm sure going to take that. Come. Just forget about Weinberg. He doesn't know what he's talking about. Let the brother do the chalitz. So Weinberg was all shaken up. So he, when he had a difficult shayla, so he would send the shayla to several other rabbis. So he sent this shayla, I think, if I'm not mistaken, he hasn't chosen, to the Chazon Ish, to the Rav in Kalish, the Kalish Rav, Lifshitz, Rav Cheska Lifshitz, to the Mira Rav, Kamai, and it's another one. Sometimes he sent to Rabbi Chaim Moses, sometimes he sent to Rabbi Penachegish. He has four Rabbanim he sent to Shaila to, and they all agreed with him. So he says, if it would only be me, I'm not going to fight with the Ragat Shabbat. The Ragat Shabbat is a super genius, but nobody agrees with the Ragat Shabbat. So he says he insisted that the Meshumet can't do the Chalitz. So that's the Tshuva. And then in a footnote to the Tshuva, he writes a few weeks later, they told him that one of the Rabbanim met the Meshumed in Berlin, walking on the street. So he said, oh, you know, the rabbis are corresponding about whether you're permitted, whether we're going to let you do the Chalitza. So he said, Chalitza? I'm not Jewish, there's nothing to discuss. Goodbye. And he walked away. So when they told it to the Ragat Shabbat, the Ragat Shabbat took it as a simon min hashamayim that his psak was wrong, that Weinberg was right. First he was Mabatel Weinberg, he doesn't know what he's talking about. Never heard of this Weinberg. Weinberg was machma based on a chasam sofer. The shaila was, but the brother who's a communist is also an atheist. He's also an apikoros. There's nothing. Also, so he said, no. The chasam sofer says that this shitas hagoinim, that a mumer in a zoykek is only if he converted to another religion officially. But the communist didn't convert. He's just an atheist. Didn't convert. So when they told it over to the Ragat Shabbos, they said, what did he dig up? Achreinu fununta deret. So he writes, what am I dig up? The Ramah in the Chazam Sefer. Because the Ragat Shabba didn't hold so much when the Chazam Sefer. He used to be Mevatel Ola Gedolim. He didn't think highly of the Ola Gedolim. He used to be a Balabas. I used to sit next to him in Shul. When Weinberg came, when this Yiddish came to Berlin, so he divorced his wife. He was married in Poland, he divorced his wife, and he came to Yeshiva in Berlin, to the Hildesheim Seminary. It was all alone. So where he's going to eat for Shabbosim? So this Balabas learned in the Litvish Yeshivas. He knew Weinberg from Slobodka. So he invited him over to his home. So this Balabas says, as a child, he remembers Weinberg. So he says that his father took him to the one. The Ragachava, one occasion, Ragachava came to Berlin for medical treatment. So the father, this Balabas, whom I knew, took him to visit the Ragachava in the hospital. And so he told him that my boy is going to be by mitzvah soon. So the Ragachava asked him, what's the pshetli going to say? What rata are you going to say? So he started to say, and the Ragachava chaptois what he was going to say. And he said, you're probably going to say X, Y, Z. So he thought, the man is a super genius. How does he know what I'm going to say? Probably said over, Ashagasayasam. How does he know? A genius. So he asked, is it okay if I come and I visit you tomorrow also? So the Ragat Shabbat said, please. His father had to go to work the next day. So he said, is it okay if I come by myself? So he said, yeah, please, because I'm here by myself. I have no one to talk to. I'm going out of my mind. Please come and visit me. It'll be a big mitzvah, big achel. So as a young child, before bar mitzvah, he heard that the Ragat Shabbat was mevatel everybody. So he wanted to have the pleasure of hearing it with his own ears. So he went the next day. So he starts asking him, what do you say about the Chafetz Chaim? A nice tzaddik. What do you say about the Chasam Sefer? A nice Hungarian rabbi. Everybody, he was Mavatl. Then he heard that he didn't hold from the Ersamech either, because they were in the same city, the Ragazhav Ersamech. So he said, if anybody tells you that, it's not true. I heard it myself. So I asked him, what do you say about Rameh Simcha? They said the Ragazhav was sick in bed in the hospital. He stood up. Every time I said the Ersamech's name, he stood up out of respect, because he said later, 10 minutes later, he said again, the Ersamech. He stood up out of respect for mentioning his name. So this Balabas told me, if anybody tells you that the Ragat Shabbat is Mevatel Ersamech, that's not true. He's Mevatel everybody else. So that in the tshuva that the Sri Yesh wrote, he says, what did the Ragat Shabbat say? I dug up Achren for Nunta Deret. I quoted the Ramah in Chasam Sefer. The Remekubal Mchol Tfutz, he said, what do you mean I dug up for Nunta Deret? Because he didn't hold for the Chasam Sefer. He didn't hold for any of these Rechman. Many of these then. There is a din that a ger is not permitted to serve in a bezin of chalitza. The Gemara has such a din. Okay. It doesn't come up so often. The din is that a ger may not be appointed to a position of a melech, a position of sarara over Klal Yisrael. The pasuk says, Sam tos malach melech, mikerev achecha tos malach melech. Mikerev achecha means mimuvcha shebachecha. So strictly speaking, you're not supposed to appoint a ger to a position of rabbanis. The Shaila is whether you can give smicha to a ger. He can't serve in Rabbanis, but can he get smicha? So they ask Rav Salvechik, every so often you have a ger who studies in the yeshiva. So Taisvis discusses the Gemara in Kiddushin. The Gemara has an expression, Koshim gerim yisol kisapachas. When you accept gerim, it's a big problem. So Taisvis has a different interpretation. Why is it a big tzora? What's the greatest tzora? So one pshat is because the gerim are not so careful. They're not so medactic in mitzvahs, and we're going to be held responsible for the fact we're going to be punished because the averus that the ger is going to do. Then Tosis quotes Rabbeinu Avraham Hager. He says, Fakert. He says, the ger are more medactic than the Jews, and that's why it's a kitrug on the Klal Yisrael. We were born Jewish, we're not so observant, and this guy converted, and he's more medactic than we are. So Tosis quotes Rabbeinu Avraham Hager. So it sounds like they gave the smicha. That's Rav Salvechik. So it seems in the Tosis that you can't give smicha to a ger. We're stuck and not supposed to serve as a rabbi in a community, unless it's a community of gerim. There was once a kehila in Europe who sent a ger to the Bell School of Music that he should learn Oislein and Chazonis to become officially to be their chazan. They had no brera. Look, if you have no choice, they had no one else who was prepared to serve as the chazan. So they wanted this ger. If you have no brera, you have no brera. So that would be acceptable. Years ago in Eretz Yisrael, there was a big hullabaloo, a long time ago, in the 1920s, I guess. There was a non-Jew who was in the middle of conversion process. He had had the bris milah, but he wasn't tevel in the mikveh yet. So he came to shul on Shabbos afternoon to mincha. So the rabbi, Rabbi Shmuel Salant, wasn't there that Shabbos. I think he was traveling in Europe. So the assistant rabbi was functioning, Rabbi Moshe Lemel. That was his name. I don't know what his last name was. So he asked the ger, did you do a malacha on Shabbos? Because the din is a non-Jew is not permitted to observe Shabbos. But every other mitzvah, he wants to volunteer. Shabbos is not permitted to volunteer. So the fellow says, no, I'm in the middle of the conversion process. I already had the bris milah. I didn't have the tefillah and the mikveh. The rabbi said, you must be mechal Shabbos now. We only have 10 minutes left. You have to be mechal Shabbos. What should I do? So he told him, write your name. He took a pen and he wrote his name on a piece of paper. So then there was a ganze machlokes, whether he did right or he did wrong. Why? Because B'nai Yisrael had milah in Mitzrayim, and we didn't have the tefillah until Maimon HaSina, and they gave us Shabbos in the middle. We got the mitzvah of Shabbos. So you see that a ger shemava lo tovah is allowed to observe Shabbos. And the other rabbanim said that was koyde matan Torah. After matan Torah, all the dinim changed. So calls man the fellow is not fully converted. He's not allowed to observe Shabbos. The rabbi was right. I think Rabbi Shmuel Salant wrote a ganze tshuva on that occasion that when the ger has milah, and then later on he goes to the mikveh, a year later, says he becomes a ger lamafreya. And he's mechuyav to observe all the mitzvahs on the day that he had the bris milah. That, I found that very unbelievable. The koilel, there's a koilel in the Chicago koilel. There are probably six koilel in by now in Chicago. But years ago, there was only one koilel in Chicago. So the koilel, on one occasion, they put out a whole soft cover pamphlet collecting all of the tshuvas on this topic, on this ma'aseh shehoya. So machlekes, the pashtus is like the Rav said. Pashtus is like Rabbi Shlomo said that a ger shemal v'loy tovah al pi pashtus is not permitted to observe Shabbos. Okay, there's more to discuss, but for later. Agot Terach.
Good question. So Zofalim would be like Hudson. Was the Hudson for Zofalim? For Zav? What do you find?
The ocean is a Maplega Satanaim, so we are some Agotava.
So we
assume that the wave of the water in the ocean comes from.